Father, again, we just take a moment as we go to your word, and Father, you would anoint and bless. Father, that our hearts would be open just to receive what you have for us, that each one of us would be encouraged, each one of us would felt loved, each one of us today would grab on to the truth that you want to be a part of our lives. You want to be a blessing in our lives and lead us and guide us and direct us, and that you would get honor and glory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I struggle with a Father's Day message because we talked about it just a minute ago, that it seems like there's a lot traveling that day, and I wrestled whether you have a Father's Day message. But you're here. Say amen to that. You're here. And each one of us has experiences in different ways of Father. For some fathers today, they're trying to express their love to their children. The children are calling and sending their love, if they're out of town, to their fathers. And then our Heavenly Father wants to show us this morning how much he loves. I kidded with my wife. Our daughter's out of town, and she texted me the first thing this morning with a picture of both of her and I sticking our tongues out at the camera. Now that probably didn't mean anything to anybody else, but that brought back a good memory, because we were fooling around when that happened, and then under the caption it said Happy Father's Day. So when you first look at it, it looks like she's sticking her tongue out at me, but it was us getting together. So whether you're a father or you're celebrating the memory or love of your own father, I hope that you have a great Father's Day. I hope that even though we've been in a study for holiness, I hope that I can bring a message that would be a message of encouragement. If you had a great father, give God praise. Say amen to that. If your father was or is all that you want him to be, give God praise, because that's a blessing. If you feel that he was not all that you would have wanted him to be, remember that our Heavenly Father can pick up the slack. Our Heavenly Father can be all that we need. And if you're here and I want you to understand that God's love is untainted, it's trustworthy, and it's unmerited. It's not based on performance. Doesn't that take comfort? Doesn't that give you a relief knowing that you don't have to prove yourself that God would love you? You don't have to perform. You just have to receive God's love. You have to sense God's love. Our Heavenly Father loves us, instructs us, protects us. He encourages us. He disciples us. He forgives us. He cares for us, and he blesses us. Say amen to that. So I'm going to keep you guys to probably about 2 o'clock, because that's probably our 9 or a 10-point message. So just, sit back and relax, and, I'm kidding. It doesn't take long. Somebody, that would have been a good place to say amen. Amen. Doesn't take long to understand why, as fathers, we sometimes fall short. Say amen. As we look at all the things that we're supposed to be, and the long list of responsibilities as fathers to our children, and probably short of abuse or short of dangerous circumstances, we as children should forgive our fathers, because we realize we're not perfect, so we can't expect them to be perfect. Say amen there. Even the women will say amen. Because here's the thing. When we have a message that's kind of geared towards one sex, Mother's Day or Father's Day, here's the thing. Men, if we would be all that we're supposed to be, the women would be saying amen this morning. The women would golly. I thought sure the women would just give a hearty amen there. Um, you know, uh, He can make us all that we need to be. Amen. So let me just do it this way. There, I'll give you 4 points. So I went from a 9 to a 4. So you should be saying amen already. So you can count them down. Number one is this: a father should love his children. And if you're going to be a godly father, you also, in that sense, have to incorporate the love that God has for your family. That not only do you have to show your love for your family, but you also, as a godly father, have to show them how much God loves them. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him." Say amen to that. That until we really understand how much God loves us, we can't express the right love back to our children, back to our families, be all that we're supposed to be. I think that's what separates the world, because they don't understand what love really is. They don't understand that there could be a God that loves them so much, unconditionally willing to go to the cross, that our Heavenly Father didn't send Jesus because of our performance. Amen to that. That excites me. That encourages me, knowing that there is really nothing you can do to make God love you. God loves you, but you give back that love to God. You accept the love that he has for us from the cross, and that in that we develop a relationship. Loving others with the love of God is a task that's not easy. Say amen to that. Some of you aren't easy to love. Some of the people that we come in contact with are not easy to love. Some really have actually irritated us a little bit. And we went from love maybe to highly agitated. But can you imagine? Let me give you an illustration. Can you imagine if Christ, just before he went to the cross, and while he was at the garden and praying, that he says, "I hate this feeling. I don't feel like doing this today. But I'll base my feelings on how I feel." We would have been in hopeless doom. Say amen to that. But because the good news is that Jesus resisted and fought back those feelings, and even though the Bible tells us that he prayed 3 times that the cup be taken from him, that he was still determined to do what the Father wanted him to do, and displayed the love that he had for each one of us, dying for sinners and dying that we might experience God's love, that God's love was a choice. Say amen to that. And you fathers, understand that there was times bringing up your children that you didn't always like what they did, but you still loved them. You thought they made some bad decisions, but you still loved them. And children, wasn't there times that you didn't think the parents made a good decision, but you understand that they still love you? The bottom line is, love really is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's not a circumstance that comes and go. It's a choice, and the church, the people choose to love and choose to experience God's love. Second thing is, a father's love should instruct his children. So we've got 1 point where a father should love his children. We got a point where a father should instruct his children. And I think today one of the things that is really tough in the world today is that nobody wants to give instructions. Nobody wants to set the bar up. Nobody wants to model what they're supposed to. They go with this. Anything you do is okay. You know, everybody has a choice, but there should be some instructions. Our Heavenly Father just didn't come down and say, "Okay, do whatever you want." Everybody here? Everybody grabbing on to this, that is, as our Father instructs us, John 5 says this, Jesus' own words, he says, "I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Heavenly Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that he will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Godly fathers teach their children the importance of a relationship with God and live it out, and wanting them, their children, to be taught and have contact with God. Deuteronomy says this: fix these words of mine in your heart and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk around the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Doesn't leave much time not to be talking about the things of God. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Now grab this. The Proverbs tells us, sons, listen to your father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake your mother's teachings. Train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Something in these scriptures for us as children of God and something for us as parents. I found family one-liners that kind of, I thought this was cute. It says, two wrongs don't make a right. Take your parents, for example. The other one-liner that I thought was good is, when I call for a family meeting, I turn off the house Wi-Fi and wait for everybody else to come running. Each of us make choices. Bad choices will have consequence. This passage that I just read is telling us that if your children will come back to the roots, to the things that you've taught them, that they've swayed away, that the Lord is saying they will be reminded. I always say the hounds of heaven, and I used to kid my kids all the time with that. The hounds of heaven will be right behind you with all the things that you've been shown and taught. As many of you know, again, it must be the day that I'm telling stories about myself. As many of you know, I did not have a father growing up. I met my father one time at 19 years old because my name was in the Milwaukee Journal. He saw it, and I think he was curious. I was curious. We met one time, and we never met again. But God has a way of taking care. I was raised by the greatest grandparents in the world, and I had an uncle that stepped in and filled every void that a father would have needed to make. My mother raised two boys by herself, and I think what's good is she was the discipline that I needed, and she was the love that was needed, all rolled up into one person. So here's what I'm saying to you this morning. God will make you what you need to be. He will bring people into your life for the things that you need. And for a single mom or a single dad, he can make you the love that's needed for your children and the discipline that's needed for your children. He can be all that you need. With God's help, he can bring the people that's needed. With God's help, he can make you the person that you need to be. Say amen to that. Number three is this: a father should provide for his children. A godly father provides for his children. And when I say that, I what I'm saying is that a father just needs to not be lazy and be out there going to work and providing for his family and doing the best that he can. What I'm not saying is, if you're here this morning as a child, he does not, or the family does not, have to buy you every toy that comes down the pike. Oh, parents, that was a great play. You should have said amen. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I don't know how parents do it today. I'm not kidding you. I haven't bought diapers for 30 plus years. I thought they were expensive then. I can't imagine now. And some of you older parents will understand this. I was broke to the broke broke. I was. I look around today, and you know, I'm from the generation that, you know, when you went out to play, you had to be in by the time the streetlights were on. And you know, now it's clinics and special coaching and take off for a week to go here and go there. I don't know how they do it. Thinking back, broke to the broke broke, there was no way. So not what I'm saying to you this morning is you're not required to give every whim that comes down the pike, because God doesn't promise that He will what? Give you everything you ask for. He says, I will meet your needs. And I'm so glad that God throws in some blessings once in a while. Aren't you glad? But the promise isn't, I will give you everything that you desire. If He did that, we'd all be a wreck. Matthew 7, verse 9 to 11 says this, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if you ask for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those that ask Him? Isn't that good? In our limited wisdom, in our limited knowledge, He tells us that He's not going to harm us. And we're not going to harm our children. We wouldn't purposely do that. How much more? And how much more unconditionally will God love us? How much more without a personal agenda will God give the things that are needed? You know, I think some of the things that God keeps from us is for our own good. Say amen. Some of us wouldn't make good millionaires because we'd walk away from God. Some of us are kept from some things in our life because He knows they're more than we can handle. We wouldn't handle it well. Now everybody's going, I wonder what that guy really wants and doesn't have. Matthew 6:31 says this, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, you just said He doesn't give you all these things. He will give you all things that you need, all things that will keep you walking with Him. He will meet all of your need. Bad choices have consequences, and sometimes it takes time and effort and sacrifice. But the promises lies in seeking God first. Say amen. Seeking God first. Some are wanting God's blessing without God. That doesn't work too good. I know it rains on the just and the unjust, and sometimes we think, why? I'm doing everything I know to do, and certain things don't happen that you've been waiting for. Seek ye first the kingdom. Don't give up. Don't get down. Keep going where you need to go and do what you need to do. And the last one this morning is a father should be praying for his children. Dad, can I speak to you just for a moment? You can only take your children as far as you are. You get what I'm saying this morning? You can only take your child as deep into the Word of God as you're into the Word of God. You can only take and be an example to your children on what you're living out. If you're not praying for them and with them, then we can't expect them to be praying and seeking the things of God if they don't see it in us by example. John 17, I want to read this. It's Jesus's, what they call Jesus's priestly prayer. In John 17, I want to read that to you. Starting at verse 1, chapter 17. After Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and He prayed. And this is Jesus' own words to His heavenly Father. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted Him authority over all people, that you might give eternal life to all those you have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with your glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the word you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they might be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is that you take them out. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they may be sanctified. Praying's not the last thing that we do. Say amen to that. Praying's not the last thing you do. It's the first thing that we should be doing as parents. It should be that we want to see them in a relationship. We want to sanctify them by the word of truth. We want them to understand the word of God. We want them to be able to remember the things that they're taught, so when they're going through the hard times, they can draw on God's strength. I realize Father's Day is tough for some. For a long time, it was tough for me. And even though I had a great family dynamics, there was always that thought of what if our Heavenly Father will pick up and be all that we need to be. Our Heavenly Father will pick up and make us all that we need to be to others. For you this morning, my prayer is this, that my Heavenly Father will be your Heavenly Father and will give you what maybe your earthly father wasn't able to give, or whatever they lacked. Loving us, instructing us, providing for us, praying for us. And I told you a few weeks ago that you can't be bitter at somebody if you're praying for them. Say amen to that. You can't be bitter if when you're praying for someone. Praying for your parents. Be praying that you would be the parent that you need to be. So you can't be selfish and be praying at the same time. You can't be selfish if your goal is to provide and be all that you can for your family. Numbers chapter 6 verse 22 says this. It's the Lord talking to Moses and Aaron and his sons and says, this is how you bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Now, some of you may be sitting here this morning and say, boy, I hear that a lot. Well, that is Pastor Susan's benediction almost every Sunday morning, or you know, at the end of this service, wanting us to understand that God wants to bless you. God wants to keep you. God wants to make his face to shine upon you. That, you know, that all of these things are what God wants for our lives. And it's a reminder of how much God loves us. So maybe you're sitting here and you're struggling this morning. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're sitting here thinking, boy, I'm going to have a great time at the grill with Dad today, or I'm going to make sure that I let my dad know what I think. I don't know where you're at, But here's my prayer as we just take a moment to pray, is that if it's not all that it should be, I pray that God would bring reconciliation, that God would bring peace, that God would bring the answers that are needed, you know, that you would allow God to enter into that certain circumstance, whatever it is, and, you know, and allow God to do that this morning. I pray that if you're mad at God, that you'd make it right that this morning too. So many times you hear a Father's Day message and an earthly father wasn't all that he was supposed to be, and you end up mad at God. I'm saying this morning and praying that if that's you, that you would make that right relationship today, that you wouldn't leave without restoring a right and a meaningful relationship with him. And if you'd never acknowledge Christ as Lord, if you'd never look to the Heavenly Father to be all that he needs to be in your life, that this morning that you would confess your sins, ask God to forgive you of your sins, and move into a relationship with him. Say amen to it. Wouldn't that make the best Father's Day? Amen. Father, I don't know where each and every one of us is. We're all at different spots in our journey. We're all at different spots in a relationship with you. We're all at a different spot with things going on in family lives. I know one thing. Every family has some dysfunction. Every family has something that is needed, that you need to work on in us. And I pray this morning that as we go our separate ways, that one, that any relationship that's broken with you would be restored. Any relationship within a family member would be restored. And Lord God, that we would function as we're intended to, showing the love of Christ to each other and allowing you to show your love to us. We give you honor and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.